Welcome to New World Notes, a series that explores the gap between the America we want and the America they're trying to make us settle for, and how we the people can reestablish our commonwealth and reclaim our democracy. Edited by yours truly, Kenneth Doust. The Man of Two Faces is back with more of the same. No, not Bill Clinton. By day, he's an aging punk rock musician. By night, he's a fine performance artist whose spoken word art is funny, insightful, penetrating, left of center politically, and served up in generous slices. Of course, he's Jello Biafra. In October, we heard 20 Minutes culled from a performance he gave this summer. Today, we'll hear more from the same talk. Jello writes poison pen obituaries for the Bush administration, his high school geometry teacher, a man who could mangle the English language almost as well as Bush, and the Christian right. Then Eliza Gilkyson sings some other reflections on separation of church and state, and why it might be worth trying. Then, well, I'm way ahead of myself and we're only halfway through the show. As the ads used to remind us, there's always room for Jello, so buckle up and let's go.
And what are we creating here when the cyber world, an instant blipping and blooping, is more real than reality? What happens when these people are in charge? An example of what happens when someone is so completely disengaged, they live in a virtual world all their own, who just bounces from one childish impulse to another. Granted, the origins are different. Perfect example of this is when you hand somebody like that something really important. Look no further than the red, white, and blue Caligula himself, George W. Bush. You know, people are so into Obama, they forget who is still president and could bomb Iran any time.
The problem with the French is they don't have a word for entrepreneur.
Some of these are new quotes, too. They stopped printing a lot of them once he was in the White House, but they still keep coming out.
If the Iranians were to have a nuclear weapon, they could proliferate. It is clear our nation is reliant upon big foreign oil. More and more of our imports come from overseas. Will the highways on the internet become more few? I know how hard it is for you to put food on your family.
I haven't had this much fun with creative mutilation of the English language since my sophomore year in high school, when I had this geometry teacher whose parents were from Norway, but he was from Minnesota and talked like all the characters in the Fargo movie. And he had, in the 70s, the bell-bottom 70s, he had baggy Charlie Chaplin pants and a white shirt and a skinny tie with a flannel hunting shirt over it, a disproportionately small, turtly-looking head and wavy widow's peak hair on top, and started out just seemingly as a dull math class or something, but a few weeks in, things began to get more and more interesting.
Yeah, we're talking about the angle C-A-B-U-I. Excuse me, B. Angle A-D-U-I. Boy, am I having a time today.
And then it grew and grew and grew. And luckily, me and another friend in an earlier class period started writing his quotes down. So I had a notebook an inch and a half thick by the end of the year. And with such pearls of wisdom and words to live by as his ongoing battle with congruent triangles.
Now, we working with Clongoggy Troubers.
No, 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 no. Congruent Tranglers, Sanguine Tranglers, Congruent,
where was it? Excuse me, I. Oh, yes, Tranglers.
No, Tringlers. Oh, no, Trianglers. Oh, I can't even try.
We can multiply.
No, 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 no,
yes!
We can mulliplurg, or murify, or multiply. Oh, multiply if the indoxes are the CERN. And then the Freudian slips about food, sex, and Watergate began to come out. So, let's plug in the cabbage, nig-nig, a bobberonk, values, and sue what we can de. Now you can't, can't lurve a radicler in the deromentator. And then finally, one day, he comes out and asks the class, Oberdiampus blabby dwerp. Not one word of English left in the entire sentence. And I did some of the shows in Norway where I asked Norwegians, look, is this actually Norwegian? He said, no. Nor is asking the class, poofy snibble abby glob, Norwegian. Nor is asking the class, diggalab wubbatoo nab radical boo, Norwegian. Nor is it Norwegian to burst into song in the middle of a problem and serenade the class with rubber gloves, sautéed over, nipe noodle fire. Rubber gloves, rubber blocks, sautéed over, open fire. Why do? Can't? Shouldn't I eat it? Extends X. We've got another quadratic. So we all equal 32. One more. Wouldn't be the first time that I've been onion. No, 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 wrong. Chip. Barbie nipple dog dude. Bush. This quote is about 10 days old. The relationship between the United States and Europe is the broadest and most vibrant it has ever been. What? I mean, remember when he said that when he met Vladimir Putin, I looked into his eyes and I saw his soul. What is less widely publicized is what Putin had to say about Bush. A while back, he compared Bush to, quote, a madman running about with a razor in his hand. No one needs to tell me what I believe, but I need somebody to tell me where Kosovo is. And this is who's in charge of a war. And we've got him and his wisdom and the evil regents around the clown prince for 6 more months, and they're hell-bent on finding an excuse to attack Iran. Bush was even asked, well, what does your father think of what you're doing over there? There's a higher father I appeal to. And then they jump all over people like John Kerry or Jesse Jackson or Kanye West or the Dixie Chicks for one patriotically incorrect thing. But then in the 2004 election, Bush actually got away with telling a group of Amish people on the campaign trail in July of 2004, I trust God speaks through me. Yeah. What? Is this why he's never wrong and has no regrets about anything he does? Is because, you know, everything he does, and any time you question him, you're questioning the will of the Almighty? We can think of somebody else with that exact same mentality who's caused similar problems, and his name is Osama bin Laden. Yeah. Bob Woodward, in the second of the 3 books he wrote about the Bush administration, after we went into Iraq, he asked the clown prince, how is history going to judge what you've done here?
We don't know, or I'll be dead.
What? 6 more months, people! Is he one of these last generation nut jobs? He already has a guy who should still be in jail for Contragate crimes. Elliot Abrams is the Undersecretary of State for Middle Eastern Affairs, having regular meetings with the Christian right and the Jewish right to get everybody on the same page as to where Israel's borders should be when the Messiah comes back. Yeah. I mean, you know, what happens if somebody does put it in Bush's little pea brain, you know, well, maybe you are the Antichrist. We do. You want the rapture to happen, don't you? You want Jesus to come back, don't you?
Well, yeah, I've been waiting to take him around the ranch in my golf cart called Gator.
Well, you know, for that, you need the rapture, George. And for that, you need Armageddon, George. Come on, George. Push the buttons, George. Then you blow up the world hundreds and hundreds of times with all of our weapons of mass destruction. Then you can be commissioner of baseball in heaven. 6 more months. I mean, some of this end time stuff is kind of cool. I kind of like the rapture in a way. All the hardcore fundamentalist bigot believers who go so far out of their way to make everybody else so miserable, all rising up into the heavens at once, like in a Jack T. Chick comic book. All rising into the heavens naked to leave the rest of us to put the planet back together in peace. That I don't mind. Armageddon could really ruin your shopping day. It could really wreak havoc with your Facebook and MySpace pages if everything melts.
Cowboy came from out of the west with his snakeskin boots and his bulletproof vest, gang of goons and his big war chest. Fortunate son, he was doubly blessed. Corporate cronies and the chiefs of staff bowing to the image of the golden calf. Starting up wars in the name of God's son, gonna blow us all the way to kingdom come. Man of God, that ain't the teachings of a man of God. Man of God, that ain't the preachings of a man of God. Coalition of the fearful and the judgmental, patricians, politicians, and the fundamentalists. You never have to tell them how the money's spent. You never have to tell them where their freedom went. Homophobes in the high command, waiting for the rapture like it's Disneyland. Hide all the bodies from out of view. Channel all the treasure to the chosen few.
Liza Gilkison from her album Paradise Hotel, with more proof that Jefferson, Madison, and other dead white males knew what they were doing 220 years ago when they separated church and state and created a constitution without a single reference to the Almighty. A refreshing change from our cowboy-in-chief who couldn't bomb an ambulance in Fallujah without claiming that God told him to do it. But to return to madness, in this final selection, Jello Biafra gives examples of how insurrection at the grassroots, nonviolent insurrection, if not always strictly legal, how insurrection has produced real change. And he gives some spot-on advice. Don't be dismayed by the enormous difficulty of changing this inhuman and insane system, because doing something is always better than doing nothing. Jello Biafra.
Taking back our country and our society from the ground up. Far less people in this country support the religious right than we are led to believe, but they have used this tactic very, very effectively to get power in way disproportionate to their numbers, and there's a lot more of us than there is of them, and we are not using our power. This is not red states, blue states, it's not donkeys and elephant, or left, right, or black, white. This is a contest, a war, between the top and the bottom. I hate to use an old radical cliche like class war, but that's exactly what's being waged in this country against almost everybody who lives in this country. I'm hoping this whole anti-war and anti-Bush surge all the way into reigniting and spreading as never before the anti-corporate movement, the anti-globalization movement. As Ralph Nader puts it, corporations should be our servants, not our masters. And we are not alone in believing that. I mean, even a lot of people who take Rush Limbaugh seriously, they're worried about the same things. It's just that their anger is being channeled into hate and race baiting and picking on poor people. They're worried about food being put on the table. And they're told to blame immigrants and minorities instead of the corporations who are shipping jobs overseas, gutting the unions and stealing their pension funds and taking away their health care. And every time we buy any of those people's products, we are their serfs. Theoretically, it is a good thing that Cuba and Venezuela are giving Microsoft the finger and ditching Windows for open source. Right? Bush and Cheney announced about a year ago the creation of AFRICOM, African Command. We have a Northern Command of the Army for the Northern Hemisphere, CENTCOM for the Middle East, trying to colonize them, keep them under our corporate thumb. Now, since there's oil in Africa and we want to plunder it before the Chinese or India does, we have to have troops all over Africa. So AFRICOM is created, but one problem. Now it's come out, but only in the foreign press from where I can find it, is they had to give up on having AFRICOM headquarters in Africa because no African country would let us in to build the thing. Not one. Africa will be governed from Stuttgart, apparently. And then there's people, you know, who were inspired by the so-called spirit of Seattle, the attacks on the G8 and corporations still going on all over the world, people pulling up Frankenfood crops in Brazil, India, Scotland, France, and Scotland. Blair tried to prosecute people for pulling up plants under anti-IRA terrorism laws. I don't know what the outcome of that is. But anyway, well, this is an example of the people being inspired to, you know, you look at the big picture, it's pretty damn depressing. But that isn't stopping people from breaking off a piece of the puzzle, taking a piece of the big picture, and fighting smaller, winnable, local battles, one by one, brick by brick. Corporations are trying to make everybody's water supply privatized. no more public service, no more sense of community, for thereby they take it over, they lay people off, and they double the price of the water. In Bolivia, that was rioted away, and Bechtel had to flee the country. Uruguay, they knew enough to put it to a vote, and Uruguayans voted no way to privatizing the water. This belongs to the people. Now it's even happened in America, where Stockton, California, and even Atlanta, Georgia, have kicked out the privateers, rolling it back. Ever heard of a little town called Potrero, California? 45 miles out in the desert east of San Diego, their county commissioners thought it would be a great idea to have Blackwater put up a huge privatized military training base to train mercenaries there to go after illegal immigrants and kill them off Blackwater style and stuff. People responded by recalling all five county commissioners who voted yes and throwing Blackwater out of town. Heard of the coalition of Immokalee workers from Immokalee, Florida, who've gone through all kinds of hell, especially out in the fields where they pick the tomatoes that go into McDonald's burgers, Burger King, and the rest. They rose up without support of any of the big unions in a campaign that was only went through college campuses, no corporate media coverage, not even Bill O'Reilly or Glenn Beck to try and bash them out of existence. And sure enough, campuses began kicking Taco Bell out of the quad. Taco Bell agreed to raise the tomato pickers' wages and do business with the coalition of Immokalee workers. McDonald's didn't even fight when they targeted them next. They just did it. Burger King did fight in the point of hiring spies to go after the organizers. Now Burger King has agreed to pay their tomato pickers closer to a minimum wage. Insurrection does work. In other words, insurrection of the wallet in this case. United Students Against Sweatshops has even gotten people like University of Oregon and Duke University to quit making their rah, 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 go football team, go basketball team swag in overseas sweatshops and get them made where the people get treated okay in the factories. Safeway and Vons, at least in California, publicly announced they won't carry any more milk with bovine growth hormone in it. No more second graders developing breasts and no more sinus infections for me, hopefully. And they said it was in response to consumer pressure, and I don't recall a single public campaign against this targeting Safeway, but somehow it happened anyway. And even in Florida, they've banned touchscreen voting machines. As the panel on ES&S points out, that alone does not solve the problem, but it does mean that even if the corporate media won't cover vote fraud and the Barack star won't say one thing about it, well, somebody did and it worked. Doing something is better than doing nothing. Every time. I mean, don't let the more radical than thou ever convince you that just because you're not doing as much as they're doing or the same thing they're doing that you might as well not do anything at all. Wrong. Doing something's better than doing nothing. It can be as simple as just making a little vow to yourself if you so desire. I'm not cooperating with corporations or their agenda anymore. They can't have me. And that means don't give them your money anymore. No more money to chain stores. No more money to chain restaurants. Put the money in the local businesses that keep the money and the jobs in the community instead. And even at the independent stores, start kind of keeping track of how many products you buy that are made by global corporate predators that you can do without. I mean, does Coca-Cola taste as good as it did when you were a kid? And how much does Budweiser or Coors have in common with decent beer? I haven't eaten at McDonald's in about 30 years. Yeah. Why is that even worth applauding? How hard is it to not eat at McDonald's when they suck so bad? Right, okay. If I don't want to eat at McDonald's, then why should I eat at Burger King? Why should I eat at Wendy's? I've never eaten at Wendy's in my life. I'll piss in their pots. I won't buy their food. My palate deserves better. You know, some of this is, you aren't suffering at all. It's just, the more you think about it, the more you can do this stuff, and at least nobody can be as pure as the driven snow and unplug completely unless you want to wind up as insane as the Unabomber or something. But anyway, don't give them your time, your energy, your intelligence. But if you must work for a global corporate predator, especially people here should remember how the digital age has ushered in such a whole wide new frontier of sabotage on the job. What is the last unspoiled art form left on Earth? No, not sex. Good guess, though. Crime! You don't get scholarships to go to crime school at the Fashion Institute or anything. You don't have this whole pain and coming down of important criminals to do academic studies of. It's still wide open. And I've always had a soft spot in my heart for creative crime. What can I say? And I think a lot of you know that there's been some very interesting hacker attacks on Scientology lately. After they forced something off of YouTube because they didn't like how it portrayed their beloved Tom Cruise. And even what was called Google bombing, where if you look up dangerous cult on Google, Scientology pops up. And of course that great YouTube ad is Hillary Clinton as Big Brother. That was very influential in sabotaging the agenda of somebody who was basically a female Richard Nixon for all practical purposes. So I'm thinking, if anybody can access, or better yet, hack-cess all the records of the Bush administration and their emails that they claim they can't find before they destroy and delete everything, get it, store it, save it, so we know what the hell happened later on.
Thanks once again for listening. New World Notes is produced in the spacious underground studios of WWUH-FM, a community service of the University of Hartford. For the original two-hour Jello recording, many thanks to Hunch and Toot, still fighting the good fight in upstate New York. Happy birthday to Jello Biafra, who turned 50 this year. The opinions expressed in this program are not necessarily those of the presenter, the station management, staff, or our gracious host and licensee, and their expression is protected by the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. New World Notes can be heard by radio, by digital stream, podcast, or free MP3 download at any time. For stream, download, or podcast, just go to wwuh.org and find its description of this program. There you'll find both information and convenient links to take you where you want to go. That's wwuh.org. I put out a small weekly newsletter describing the upcoming show. If you'd like to subscribe, just send me an email. The address is kdowst@hotmail.com. Comments and feedback to the same place. Again, that's kdowst@hotmail.com. Until next time, here's wishing you a good week. Illegitimi non-carborundum. Beat those bunker busters and cluster bombs into plowshares. Keep the faith, and please tune in again.